A Shishkin Productions podcast.
What's up, Chris? No cold open because of the writer's strike, right?
Right. What?
Hey, what's up, Sizzlers? Welcome to another episode of the
Sizzle Reel Podcast.
We're back.
We did it.
It's been a while.
Summer vacation.
Yeah.
I'm refreshed and ready to go.
Super refreshed.
Ready to jump into the month of August. I had to check my phone to make sure it's August. Ready to jump into the month of August.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, though, we have a packed show, mostly because we didn't have one last week. So now we're catching up.
We, as I am prone to do, a peek behind the curtain. We actually had a show written for last week. We just decided not to do it.
Yeah, but the timing didn't work out.
It was just like, why, you know, why not go on vacation?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You know,
we got some emails to get to, some text messages from y'all to get to, and a lot of potentially dire news. I don't know.
All news is dire, bro. Come on.
Yeah, it's true. I will say right now, at the time of us recording this, AMPTP and WGA have started negotiating again.
Yes.
Like literally as we are recording this, they are in some room in Los Angeles negotiating.
They're about 20 minutes into negotiations right now.
So this will not be current based on what happens. But in a week from now, we'll have something else to say about it.
Yeah, you just got to be patient.
Chris, why don't you give him social plugs and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, of course. We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. I was on our Twitter yesterday. I believe the last time that we tweeted was in December.
The Christmas special.
The Christmas
which
special.
Which I urge you to go back and listen to if you haven't listened to it. It's pretty decent.
We are sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. Send us an email. I just heard that maybe we even got some emails, which is exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else?
The cold line.
Oh, the cold line. How could I forget?
How could you forget the cold line?
Oh, that is
332-333-4361.
One more thing. Sizzle Reel Gang, the website.com. It's new and improved. Just wanted to throw that out
it
there.
It is very new at this point.
It's so
super
new.
Improved. Good ass website. Goodasswebsite.com.
Oh.
I wonder if that's taken. If that probably is. If not, that might be in the
this
portfolio.
This site can't be reached.
Goodasswebsite.com?
Yeah, it
bro,
seems like it's
are
available.
Are you kidding me? Wait a second. Goodass website. 1 cent?
1 cent?
Goodasswebsite.com, bro?
Oh, dude, GoDaddy's hooking it up.
Okay, by the time this posts, goodasswebsite.com will be in Chris's possession.
Should we do goodass.website?
Both.
Okay.
They should redirect. I think
it's an
good
extra $2. Why not?
Bro, goodasswebsite.com. Holy shit. All right, guys, go to goodasswebsite.com. it's going to redirect to sizzlerealgangwebsite.com.
Totally.
Chris.
Yes. What's up?
We got a lot of what you've been up to because it's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah, but we've been up to a lot. We're not going to go out of business this month because we've been doing a lot.
Yeah, it's true. We have been doing quite a bit. So this month we're still afloat. We're like taking water out of the boat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the boat is on like dry land. I don't know what's going on. Really, things are fucked. But good news, the dock that we made back whenever.
Oh yeah.
It's we still got news trickling in about it. That's the craziest thing to me about these
It's a whole
feature.
Cycle, bro.
Yeah, it's weird. Like making a feature isn't just like you make it and it's done. It's like it's now been a part of my life like every week for
over a year and a half now.
Almost 2 years. Yeah, like that's fucking crazy. It's very weird, but it is. It's now gotten into 4 film festivals. I'm not
impressive.
Allowed to say which ones. Technically, they said don't say it.
Yeah.
But I can say one of them. One of them is Albuquerque Film and Music Experience.
Okay.
So,
congratulations.
That'll be cool. That one's in Albuquerque.
It features a band from Albuquerque. So
yeah, very heavily. I'm probably not going to go to any of them because I don't feel like traveling all the way.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've already lost so much money on this film.
Yeah, exactly. Like if there is a way to cover the flights, then maybe I'll go, but I can't, you know.
I doubt it.
Can't do an exercise in like, you know, ego boost or ego whatever mania just to go watch a movie on a screen. It's like, no. One thing that's crazy is that for one of these, and maybe another one. But for one of these, I was, they specifically said that you have to submit a DCP.
Okay.
So I had only been, I had like, okay, let me make an MP4, H.264, whatever, and a ProRes, and just let those be and hope that I can get by with just like those formats. This one that we got into wanted a DCP. So I had to go get a program called DCP-O-Matic. Then I had to learn how to use it and learn how to make a DCP, which took like 3 hours. But I accidentally put the computer to sleep, so I had to like redo it because I forgot that it was going in the background.
Yeah.
Either way, I think it works. I don't have any way to test it because I don't have a projector.
Yeah, so sure.
I don't know if it worked, but I sent it.
It should be all right.
I told them
they'll tell you if it doesn't work.
I told them if it doesn't work, tell me because I'll have to figure it out. I've never done this.
A digital cinema package. Yeah, that's might be the first and last time you ever have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully not the last, but definitely the first. You know, I looked at some site and they said they would do it for $1,500.
Holy crap.
Yeah, and I was like, damn.
How much was the program?
Free.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, free sounds a little bit better.
Yeah, it's like a shareware type thing or whatever, or freeware, or whatever, like donation, you know, you can donate if you want. And I was like, this movie is losing us like thousands of dollars. I'm not going to donate it. Then on top of that, had to submit VTTs to that as well. So I went to Rev and I paid them to like, you know, if you don't know what Rev is like a site where you can have it. Usually I thought it was just for auto generating captions.
Yeah.
But apparently you can pay a fee to have like a qualified person do the captions for you. A 2 day turnaround. I think I paid like $250 or something like that. And the captions were solid. They even went as far as like if the song had lyrics that were audible, they would like look up the lyrics and figure out like the name of the song. And then the captions would be like, you know, Fear by Prison Bitch plays. And it's like, what? That's fucking sick.
That's honestly super impressive. Cause like, it's not like the bands that we followed are household names.
Yeah.
Like they had, I mean, maybe they're on Shazam. Maybe it was that simple, but
not true.
It's an impressive level of attention to detail.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, I still had to go through and kind of like change a couple like random type. Obviously, like, you know, it's a fucking 90 minute movie. Of course, there's going to be a couple things to change. But all in all, I was very, very pleased with the results. I thought it was great. So
yeah, that's awesome.
The movie is making waves, making progress.
I had never even really heard of a VTT before last week because basically it's just a different file of captions.
Yeah. It's like SRTs are the ones we usually work with.
Exactly. And Premiere, which is our NLE of choice, can't actually produce VTT files.
Yeah.
So the...
Not even choice, like necessity, really.
Well, it's
like,
true.
It's like we like want to only be doing Premiere shit.
Yeah.
I'd rather not be doing any of it.
You know,
I'd rather just be fucking vacationing.
Producing? Oh, no. Vacationing.
Fuck that. I don't want to work, bro.
The American dream, never work again.
There you go. Yeah, VTT files, though. They were... there you go. I mean, you were thinking you had to download like a separate...
Well, I found like another freeware type program that can convert SRTs to VTTs, and it seemed like a decent option. But at the same time, I still haven't used it, so I don't know the efficacy of it.
Yeah, I think it's probably fine. I don't think it's very hard to change the format between those things.
But I think it was worth it to just run it through Rev.
The reason that I did it is because I was like, I am not about to hand caption 90 minutes of this. That's 100%.
I would have taken you like two full days.
If not more, dude, because I'm fucking lazy. But the other part was like, I don't want to even do AI captioning on this because it's so weird and complicated. And to be fair, the sound is so shit that like it's going to struggle with stuff all the time. And if I was to, I would end up having to do, that would probably take 2 days as well of me just having to like fix a bunch of mistakes. Yeah. So super pumped. I think I submitted it like Saturday morning and I got it back like Monday night or something like that, or Tuesday morning. It was very, very cool. What have you been up to?
Man, I've been up to a lot, honestly. So I guess a two or three weeks ago now, I started working on the ref cam project that we did.
Oh,
in
the
DC.
MLS ref cam video.
Yeah. And you ended up kind of finishing that, like doing the final notes and like conforming all that shit.
I think I added one shot and changed the shade of blue on the graphics. I think those are literally the things I did. My finishing touches.
Yeah, it was team effort. And that released on YouTube a day or two ago. So if you go on MLS's YouTube, just search All-Star Ref Cam, something like that. That is a piece that we shot and edited. And I think that, you know, it's the second time we've done it. We did the same thing last year and had great response then, and it has a great response now, which if you've been in the YouTube comments on any video, having kind of a unanimous agreement that this is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's rare, so it feels good. I think everyone's super happy with how it turned out.
So here's the thing, okay? I'm going to go ahead and let you in on the metrics assessment analysis, whatever.
Okay.
6 years ago, they did a ref cam thing. It got 3.4 million views.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
We did not work on that one.
No.
It's 3 minutes long. It was against Real Madrid, so that might have been part of it.
That's a big part of it.
But yeah, it's got 3.5 million views. The ref cam from last year that we did, 1.7 million views.
Woo.
You know who edited that one?
That was you.
That was me. Yours? You got two days. It's been one day. And it's only at 94,000.
94,000 is pretty solid for one day.
Well, let's see where you are this time next year.
Okay, we will.
If you're at 1.7 million, I'll shake your hand and say you did it. But right now, Subpar performance.
Well, okay, whatever. Look, here's I have a Firefox add-on, whatever that.
Oh wow!
It returns the thumbs down.
Because they took it away.
Yeah, they took it away. But last I checked, it had like 2,000 thumbs up to about 8 thumbs down, which I think is pretty impressive.
How do you can you still thumbs down? Oh yeah, you can thumbs down.
Yeah, so yeah, you just can't see the number anymore. Yeah. So, you know, I feel good about it. It was fun to work on. So last year you did the game ref cam I did the skills ref cam.
Right. So I won last year. I had 1.7 million views versus your 38,000.
I think I got it this year.
But this year you're at 94,000. Mine hasn't posted yet. Mine's going to probably post some point next week.
Sure.
I think I'm going to beat your player cam video within like 3 days. I'm pretty sure
the skills is going to get more.
It's going to get over, like last year, your skills video got 38,000 sure. total to date right now. I think I'm going to get to 40,000 within 3 days.
Okay.
I fucking bet, bro. My edit is fire.
All right. Yeah. And hey, here's the other thing.
Everything's a competition on the system.
Yeah, I know, right? Here's the other thing is last year, the player cam the ref cam was... The ref was much better for the camera last year. Like he kind of acknowledged that he was wearing it a lot more, and he just seemed like a more fun personality.
You're already hedging, bro. You're already hedging, huh?
No. This is how I felt while I was editing it. He just seemed like a cooler dude, and the referee for this year, he just kind of took everything a little too seriously, and it wasn't as fun. I still think it's an interesting piece though.
Yeah.
And this year a lot more happened in the game. There were 5 goals. There was a VAR review, whatever. I know that's,
yeah,
I'm doubling up, but ATM machine. But there was a lot going on. So I'm pretty excited about it.
At the end of the day, my video that I'm, I love how I just call it my video.
Yeah,
like we obviously both worked on all of these together, but it's funnier. It's better for the thing. My video that I made last year has 17 times more views than yours.
It's also been out for 366 times as long.
Okay, well that's, I would say 11 times long, months versus whatever, days, who gives a fuck? My point is this. We'll come back to this next week and revisit it.
Okay.
We'll keep the tracker. We'll kick off every show with the views tracker.
And so once that wrapped up, I actually, we're excited to work with an agency that we worked with a few times last year and I think once this year, and kind of our process with them is typically we do rip films, mm-hmm. which, you know, we just find whatever videos we can on the internet, usually cinematic or, you know, just like,
really it can be anything. It's more like to just, make a sizzle reel out of any existing video content that exists.
Lots of pop culture references and just like a lot of, old commercials that we'll take like one clip out of that, you know, out of context, it makes sense in the new context.
Right.
And they use that video as part of their pitch to these big corporations who they're trying to earn their business. And this past one was a lot of fun, I'd say. It was a little bit different than what we've done before. It was more of like a health lifestyle brand than what we did in the past. But
I think what was crazy from my perspective about this one was so the week that Amy was negotiating to like start this project, I got COVID.
Yes.
So I ended up getting sick and I was out. And you and Amy literally did the whole thing without me even being on any of the emails.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was like,
you weren't even on it.
I was like, this is fucking sick. Like, I've only seen, no pun intended, but I've only seen two versions of this. I think I've only ever seen one cut. It was like when I was like, hey, I'll try and make you a graphic. And I think it ended up not even getting used.
But no,
like,
it didn't.
It's like kind of nuts to me that this whole thing happened over like 5 days and I like didn't see a single word about it except see like one cut on day two or something like that.
So. Well, I think it helps that this is it's a company that we've worked with before. And I think the last couple times that we have worked with them, I've been the editor. Like, I think at one point you were like, we had two or three videos going on at the same time with them, all for the same brand, and they just liked my video the most.
Okay.
And this is true. And you got butthurt about it.
No.
And you were like,
mine were fucking tight.
Mine was
actually better.
But then you said, from now on, you do the edits for this company. Okay. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, sure. If that's what you think.
It 100% happened.
I think everyone listening knows that I won that one because I don't have to fucking edit.
Yeah, those are tough edits because you have to have they expect like a version on the first day.
Yeah,
two or three versions every day after that. You know, I worked until 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock multiple times because they are.
You're a better editor than me, bro. You should do all the editing.
No, thank you. No. Thank you. No.
I will say I know what you're talking about, though. They do. They work at a different pace. They work at the ad agency pace, which like is cool every once in a while. If it was every single day,
the
burnout would be insane. Yeah. I gotta say that going back to that instance you brought up where we had a couple different videos, if you actually just watched the three videos that were made, the one that first of all, you did two of them, so you had more chances.
No, I did one. Kuba did the third.
All right. Well, yours was bad, but
I had the best concept also.
You had the best concept and the best writers who were pitching alongside.
Yeah.
My concept was mid, but my edit was fire, bro.
It was nice.
My concept should have been
totally nice.
My concept was the lowest one on the rankings. That's why they gave me that one. Cause you know, what do they say about like God blesses you with the hardest challenges? That's what happened to me. I got blessed with that hard challenge. And of course I couldn't do it. I'm like Messi with fucking Miami, bro. They're not even going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, of course not. That's fine. I will say, though, there was one day, I think it was Friday, and they decided it was going to be a down day, which we celebrated a little bit too hard when we found that news out.
Yeah.
And, you know, the next day I was like,
cool. We didn't celebrate too. We celebrated fittingly, knowing that we wouldn't have to be in the next day.
Exactly. And then we got an email at 9 a.m. the next day and they were like, so we're working on another video for the same pitch. We have a different editor for it and they're not cutting it, but and they asked if I could take over on it, but it just wasn't going to work work out because I think I was going to have to log
You're
in.
Still drunk.
Thank God they don't listen. I was on another project, Alexi.
I mean, yeah. It doesn't mean you weren't drunk. You're just on another project.
But I would have had to tap into their Lucidlink server and work remotely. And that, as a rule, we just don't do that.
Yeah.
It's not for us. And yeah. For good reason.
I agree. I don't like... I know that, like, whatever, maybe that's the way the industry is going, but... Leave me behind.
Yeah, right.
I don't need to be involved in right? that. I'm good. I'm just fucking put me out to pasture.
If you want me to use like your stuff, then hire me full time, right? Yep. You know, I'm just not about that life. And this week I've been working on some hockey stuff, which
hockey
is
shit.
I'm always happy to be doing that.
That one, I would argue, I kind of did most of the work.
You definitely did. Yeah.
Woo, let's go. I'm back to editing. I'm back, bro.
Yeah.
I was telling Seth, a friend of the show, Seth, this the other day. I was like, you know, it was when I stayed here to do that video and I was here late. And I was like, man, this is the first time I feel like I've actually edited in like 6 months. Because I really...
It's kind of true.
I really like haven't been doing it that much.
Yeah,
this year.
You kind of got the intel on lock and
that's the thing. Is
the
like,
rest flows through me these days.
That's the weirdest part is that like... It's not like I haven't been editing. I've just been editing shit that is so second nature.
Yeah, yeah.
That like it doesn't feel like work when it comes in.
Exactly.
That's like the goal I feel like with editing and getting like having clients where it doesn't feel like you're working. It's just like it comes in, you knock it out, and then you continue with your life. Like it doesn't feel like the work is overtaking your entire life.
That's how I felt about like anytime I'm doing highlight videos for any of the companies we work with. That to me doesn't feel like work. Like it's very, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's kind of easy. Like maybe it's just easy for me because I know what I'm looking for in a sports highlight package.
Yeah. It's easy. And it's also interesting though. You know what I mean? Like, cause to me, I would say that all of the like tech videos I do aren't it's weird.
They're not catered to you.
They're not easy. But they're easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I understand when I'm going through like these dense concepts about like what goes into making microprocessors or like selecting the best microprocessors or however this, you know, whatever, any of that shit or computer parts or whatever. It's like, I don't necessarily engage with that type of content, but I know exactly what to look for and what keywords to look for and like what ideas matter and what ideas don't. So it becomes very easy.
Yeah, it's experience at work. 7 or 8 years ago, you wouldn't be able to get through those videos as quickly as you do now.
That's a good point.
Because you would have to really pay attention to what's being said and like understanding the concepts. But now you've worked with it enough that you already understand the concepts and you just have to kind of put them together in a way that is digestible.
I've been pigeonholed.
Yeah.
I'm now just that guy.
Yeah.
I'm him.
Himothy.
Himothy, when it comes to fucking doing tech videos, I'm him.
Yeah, 100%.
It's facts.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the actual show. We got a text message you might remember from a couple weeks ago, and I said we'll talk about it at some point, from a 646 number, which I guess is Manhattan. I didn't know that,
yeah,
but
yeah.
It's Manhattan. They sent a link to a thing called thefreemovie.buzz, and they wrote, "This feels like good podcast fodder. Y'all should draw frames and submit." And we did not.
No,
we did not, because when we went to the website, it said the movie is done. What is the freemovie.buzz, Chris?
The freemovie.buzz appears to be a frame by frame MS Paint recreation of the B movie with Jerry Seinfeld.
Right.
I think it came out in 2007. It's black and white, and it's not even, it's MS Paint from like the early 90s, you know?
Yeah, like, it's like a little pixel art type plugin, like web app. It fucking sucks though. Like the reason that I thought it's a cool concept, but watching back, it sucks because it sort of is like this weird collective internet brain thing that it's why comment sections always suck, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
so and just to clarify before we go too far, it was crowdsourced. So anyone could do a frame, multiple frames, and submit it.
Basically, you go to that website and it was like, do you want to participate or whatever? And you hit yes, draw a frame, and it gives you a frame to trace.
Yes.
Pretty much just a trace,
yeah.
I think. And the end product is totally unwatchable because, like, no one actually, most people didn't take it seriously. Most people just, like, either wrote their initials or drew, like, a smiley face or drew, like, some titties or some shit. And it's like, bro, like, fuck, man.
This,
like,
would have been,
it would have been so sick if everyone had actually done what they wanted to do.
Or even if they're, even if they're, and I know it would suck to go frame by frame through, how many frames are there in here? 64,000 frames roughly, to just pick the best one that was submitted for each one. But I like it, cause that would be cool if people actually took it seriously and weren't just drawing anime titties.
Yeah,
that it'd be a lot more fun and watchable.
It's kind of a cool concept. I mean, it reminds me of what's that? Remember that Rick Linklater movie? I think it was where, like, every scene is animated in a different style.
So Waking Life
might have been, or Waking Life, or it could have been the other one, the fucking one about computers or whatever. I don't fucking know. But my point is, it's interesting. It's a cool concept. I feel like if you actually had, like, an art collective that were into it and it wasn't just, like, public, it could actually be a cool thing to do.
Yeah. I
maybe we'll do that with the ref cam.
So, I mean, it's interesting. The free movie.buzz.
If you want to watch it, go watch it. Don't waste too much of your time, though, because experiment was failed. Or maybe not. Maybe they just got different results than they.
There were
a
total of 30,535 worker bees. Worker bees are people who.
So everyone drew like two frames, basically.
Yeah, roughly two frames on average.
Cool. That's a good concept. It's a cool idea.
It's pretty cool.
We also got an email. This one is coming in from Joe Nana. He says, "Gang, gang, what's up? It's your boy Joe Nana, longtime listener, first time emailer. Check out this link. Just thought you guys might find it interesting." And this is a great link because it's going to lead into a lot of interesting conversation right here. So he linked to a website called onsetfacilities.com. I think this is just like a blog post they made, but it's about AI animation in Unreal Engine 5, the AI startup that they're kind of highlighting in this blog post. It's called Motorica AI or Motorica. I don't know how to say it. I'm going to say Motorica. Motorica AI. It's like Motor ICA if you want to look it up. Motorica AI is a plugin that aims to bring the power of AI animation to developers and optimize traditional animation workflows. So it works with Unreal Engine 5. To kind of put that in layman's terms, basically, You correct me if I'm wrong, but it feels like it's like a database full of pre-existing animation mocap ideas, and you just kind of like select what you want and your character will do that.
Yeah. So more or less you would start, the way I understand it, you start with your standard character model in the T-pose.
T-pose is like where their arms are out to their side directly looking like Jesus Christ.
Exactly. So then you can just like draw a path for it in Unreal or in their, I guess in their web browser.
And when you say draw a path, it's quite literally, it's not like you set keyframes and move the character around. It's like you have a little pen tool or a pencil tool and you just literally draw a line on the ground where you want them to move.
Sure. And then you can choose between a whole bunch of different styles of walking. Like you can do teenage girl, you can do zombie, you can do gentleman,
ogre.
I said zombie.
Yeah.
You know, just a whole bunch of different presets, and then you can change the speed of them. You can add things like tiredness or drunkenness.
Yeah, you can give them like afraid. You can give them like characteristics for how they're going to perform that action or whatever.
And you can even kind of like use a slider, so to speak. You know, you can do 50% tired, 50% gentleman, or you can kind of slide that in whichever direction you want to achieve what you're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks very impressive. The thing is, I don't know a whole lot about how you would typically work in Unreal Engine. I mean, obviously for a video game, you're probably not keyframing everything. There's probably a little bit of AI already involved. So I don't know how much this improves the current workflow, but it does look super easy. Like it looks so easy to just, I mean, you still have to design the character model, but what, I mean, you and I could just download a random character model and try this out if we wanted.
Exactly. They're actually, when you get it, when you like download the plugin or whatever, you can also download the default character that this is all built around.
Yeah.
In their videos where they do examples, it's a bunch of like orange, just like humanoid characters.
Sure.
So this is like the default character. You can download it and actually, like, I guess, recreate all of the things that they have, you know, programmed or whatever. Here's the thing that I was not keen on with this. I think this is cool for like video games and for like independent creators. It's cool. Where I was a little bit like lukewarm on this shit was in the little promo video, bro, where they were like, we hired like legendary world-class motion capture actors to like give us all of this, and we're forming the database and library that we're going to combine with AI to never need motion capture people again. And it's just like, no, that's, you're missing the whole fucking point of what's happening right now in this industry, bro. Like, yes, this is great for like, if I wanted to make a random video game,
sure,
that's cool. But like, this tech is like not it. You know what I mean? I don't know. From a labor perspective, it's not it.
Yeah. I mean, what I would say is I think that your standard AAA game is still going to want to differentiate themselves. Like, they're probably still going to hire their own motion capture artists, and they're still going to get paid the same way. I think this is probably just going to bring more, I guess, accessibility to smaller developers, indie developers who don't have the resources to hire motion capture artists. So you probably it's people who would never be paying for that anyway, I would guess. I guess there could be some major studios who would take this and kind of screw some mocap artists out of work, but I don't even know if this is released yet either.
I think it's in beta right now.
So we'll see. I just think with the budgets of like, I can never see GTA or Red Dead Redemption, any of the Rockstar style games or anything by CD Projekt Red. Like, they're not going to just take default animations and use it for their massive games.
True. I mean, what it says is that it uses AI, so I'm assuming that like they're not necessarily default pre-rendered animations. They're all going to have some degree of randomness and like machine learning, quote unquote, to them.
Yeah.
So none of them are really going to be the same, and I think that's kind of their selling point. But, you know, right now it's super limited. I feel like right now, I think it was like goblin, ogre, zombie, werewolf. It's very geared towards fantasy stuff. So like, for example, and shooters. So like, if you had a game where you're a person running around in like a decrepit fucking, you know, crypt, and there's like zombies coming to attack you, that's where you would like maybe use this. So you don't have to like animate every zombie, but they can all be very unique.
Exactly.
Then like, okay, that's cool. I don't know. It's interesting. I think it's very cool in terms of like the possibilities, but at the same time, it's like, damn, bro. You know, for video games, it's cool, but hopefully this doesn't end up like getting into like film and video production, all that stuff.
Yeah, well, it absolutely will, I'd say, because I feel like Unreal Engine, I mean, we've worked on, obviously it wasn't a film or anything, but it was a major brand, and they used Unreal Engine as part of their set. So I could see it getting adopted in the film industry, maybe not to a massive extent, but maybe a little bit here and there.
Maybe I should download it, mess with it, and make like a fucking short film based on the sizzle reel. Ogre.
When we turn into zombie ogres.
One zombie, one ogre hosting a podcast. Something sort of related to this, moving into the real meat of the show. I put this on last week's rundown, but NPR had an article where the headline was, "Movie extras worry they'll be replaced by AI. Hollywood is already doing body scans." I thought this was super fucking interesting. They talked to a background actor who worked on WandaVision, and she said that one day the production crew told her to report to a tractor trailer where there was a dozen other background actors, and they all were standing there one by one. They would step into this space, and they were told to, have their hands out, have their hands in, look this way, look that way, give us a scared face, give us a surprised face. And they were doing this all in front of a series of cameras that were on metal rigs behind glass. It turns out that that was them getting their faces and bodies scanned. They were in there for about 15 minutes each, and that's where they had these digital replicas that were created of them. They weren't told how these were going to be used or if they're ever going to be used or whatever.
They had to sign NDAs.
Yeah, but she basically got paid her union rate of $187 for the day, and then that was it. And who knows where they're using this, you know, background or where they're using these body scans.
Yeah, so I when you sent this article over, I had already heard about this happening. I thought that this was already kind of one of the catalysts to starting the strike.
Yeah.
So it didn't surprise me at all. But it's a little bit terrifying because so the studios are claiming that it's not for use in perpetuity. It's only for this specific project that this background actor, you know, signed up for, yeah, you know, was cast for.
I mean, you brought up a good point before the show. You're like, yeah, okay, well, regardless, you know, like, so instead of needing them for 6 days.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So you still, either way, they're just admitting, yeah, we're screwing them out of the week, the 2 weeks, 3 weeks worth of work.
Yeah.
But we're not screwing them out of work indefinitely.
Yeah.
But it's still scummy, one. And two, this is, you know, one of the cruxes of the entire strike,
yeah,
is how AI is going to be used to generate their likeness.
I think I've said it before on the show where, like, it's, if you're going to do it, I guess, I shouldn't even say it like that. If you're going to fucking do it and you're going to scan these people in and you're going to be using them throughout the show, they got to be compensated every time they get, yeah, used. And I think the model that I like randomly pitched a few months ago was like, every time you use them, their compensation rate should actually go up.
I like that.
So that way the studios are incentivized to always have to get new actors in,
yeah,
like new background actors in to do mocap or whatever.
That's the thing, is like the general idea of having these scans, it doesn't really, that part doesn't bother me. It's the not paying people for their likeness,
yeah,
that bothers me. It like, I don't care if the person is on set or not, they can be digitally created,
right,
as long as they're getting paid for it.
Right, 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 exactly.
Because, you know, then they can get paid twice at the same time. They can do a different gig while getting paid their day rate for,
totally,
for this artificial gig.
I mean, I think that it makes total sense to do that model where it's like, you know, backloaded almost. Like, you know how like in the NBA they'll do contracts that, like, you know, they start at X amount and by the last year of them they're actually like X plus 15% or,
sure,
something,
sure,
like that. And so they, you know, they weigh it onto the back end. I feel like there should be like a perpetual back end weight on these almost, you know, where like every single time it's used, the next time you want to use their likeness, the price went up, the price went up, the price went up. And that way it's going to keep fresh, you know,
yeah, people,
content, quote unquote.
Exactly.
Rolling in,
it'll almost distribute the wealth a little bit more equally.
Yeah.
So that everyone, you know, once someone's artificial likeness becomes too expensive,
right,
then someone lower on the rung gets used.
Or they can go get rescanned or something like that,
sure,
or whatever. You know what I mean? Like they can go give another performance, because it's really about the fact that the actors are only being asked to give one performance when they should be getting paid every time they perform. It's,
yeah,
their fucking job. They're acting, right?
Well, and there was this one line that I actually like, it doesn't bother me that the studio did it. So for instance, Apple filled a stadium with what looked like 26,000 people by using digital doubles of just 20 background actors. Now I think 20 is kind of low. I don't know the right number to make things a little bit more fair, but if you're shooting something that has 26,000 people in a stadium,
yeah,
it's just not a realistic thing to shoot,
totally,
with actual people.
100%.
So for that use, that doesn't bother me too
but
much.
But I think, you know, what should happen there is that those 20 background actors should get compensated. This maybe isn't the exact solution, but compensated every time they are used in that
yeah,
that stadium.
Exactly.
Like, I know they're not just tiling 20 actors over and over again. They're using them and digitally manipulating them and maybe combining one actor's look with another actor's look or giving them different shirts or using different animations, whatever. I don't care. But there should be a way that, like, they're not just compensated for their one day of, like, acting. They should be, if they're going to be used throughout it.
So
it's not even like give them another X amount of days or whatever. It's maybe it's really small. Maybe you give them an extra 10% pay bump, but like
it's
there should
be something.
There should be some compensation.
Yeah, because so each, if there's 20 actors being replicated into 26,000, that's each person becomes 1,300 more people. If you multiply that by their day rate, that would be $243,000.
Exactly. So like there's not, that's obviously like, it's not a one-to-one solution,
yeah.
But you definitely need some sort of compensation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%.
You know, it's pretty straightforward. I'm going to read a quote from Andrew Susskind. He is a professor at Drexel who spent 30 years as a producer and director. Again, this kind of goes without saying, but he says, imagine ballroom scenes, party scenes, any scenes that need tons of extras. Imagine the amounts of money they would be saving, not paying $180 a day plus meals plus costuming.
Exactly.
And then on top of that, just like the time to wrangle all those people and move them around the right way. You know what I mean? You could just set your points based on like where your actors are blocking, is your lead blocking is going to be. You film those points. You just make sure all the data is right. And then, you know, take it into Unreal or whatever and fucking do everything in there.
This is not in the rundown, but I just wanted to touch on it because I think it's relevant to what we were just talking about. This came out, I think, yesterday, a couple days ago. Marvel's VFX workers have moved to unionize, which is very interesting because VFX artists in Hollywood are famously they're not represented by a union and have been getting screwed over for years.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, one more thing to add on to Hollywood taking advantage of its workers and the workers fighting back.
Yeah, I mean, the VFX, there was just some sort of like big VFX conference. So I wonder if it kind of coincides with that. But obviously VFX workers should be unionized. They're the whole reason that any of those fucking Marvel movies even get seen.
Exactly.
Like, without the VFX workers. And you know what? Most of them probably get paid peanuts. I don't even know. But if you sit around and watch the credits crawl when it's a Marvel movie or something like that, I mean, there is. You'll see how many fucking VFX workers. And they're all usually in like Southeast Asia. So it's like, you know that the prices are mad low and it's being outsourced and there's some weird labor shit happening for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, any of this, the AI generated likenesses, I mean, how do you think those are going to be used? They're going to be used by VFX artists to implement into the film. So. Yeah. You know, it's just one more step.
It all goes hand in hand. And there's actually a nonprofit called the Hollywood Professional Association who I guess they have a lot of different members. They have a lot of post-production members as well. They issued an open letter to Hollywood, basically just I think that was today, like maybe a few hours before we recorded this.
Yeah.
But they basically said that organizations indispensable to the creation of media are cutting staff and services and in some cases even risk closing. And that creates concern for the survival of the media creation supply chain. It's not like they're saying anything groundbreaking here, but the fact that they've come together to write like an open letter is pretty, you know, it's pretty big news. I mean, they're saying, in a nutshell, you know, we worked really hard during the pandemic and we found creative, innovative ways for, quote, the show to go on. But, you know, at this point, what's happening right now is by the time everyone comes back, there might not be those things to come back to.
It makes me kind of curious how the Directors Guild got negotiations done so quickly compared to everyone else in Hollywood right now. Like, is it just not as large of a union, or are they just the bad guys? You know, like,
I don't know. I think that at the end of the day, like, it's not,
they can't easily be replaced by AI.
Their jobs are more like based around yeah, like having, you know, I don't want to say having the connections because that sounds weird, but like their jobs aren't so cut and dry, you know, like directors do everything. And so at the end of the day, you could argue that it's their job to like fight for the rest of the production, but you know, they're not the ones, like you said, who are going to be the most directly like impacted by any of that.
Yeah.
I want to find this one little line from this open letter because it, you know, it basically says at the conclusion of the current dispute, it is assumed that the writers, actors, and producers will go back to work. However, the real risk for our members is that they may not be able to return at all. With each passing day without resolution, the economic damage to supply chain companies and their employees grows ever more devastating. Many risk closing, and many talented and skilled professionals are losing their jobs and life savings, some leaving the industry entirely, taking their expertise with them. Without a near-term solution, there is significant risk to the ability of the industry to easily recover.
Yeah, so basically, these people aren't getting paid, and they're moving on, and they're not going to... they're not going to be there when the dust settles.
Yeah. Let's see. From here, I think there's three different ways we can go. We can either go into the influencer's role in the strike. We can go to this AI Opus clip thing that I found, or we can go to Avid being sold.
I personally don't give a crap about the influencer part of things. If you think that's interesting,
I'll touch on it real quick. Like there was just an article in Variety that, you know, said it was like how the SAG after strike catches creators in the crossfire. I'm sure we know how Mr. Beast was promoting Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and like there was a little bit of a kerfuffle about that. To me, the most surprising thing that I found when I read this article was that there is actually in February of 2021, so it's been a 2.5 years.
Yeah.
SAG after created the influencers contract. So influencers can be SAG, like they can be in SAG-AFTRA. I'm here on like the fact sheet page, and it says followers can range from a few hundred to 100 million.
That's
so like
pretty broad, bro.
Yeah, so it's like if you have like 1,000, you have like 500 followers, and you could potentially somehow get into SAG, which is kind of cool. The thing is I think that, you know, the influencer agreement might actually hinder influencers more than it would help them.
Well, yeah.
Because many influencer gigs are SAG?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying is like you'd have to meet a certain number of hours on union work each year, yeah, right? To stay in the union. I'm not privy to this world really, so I don't know how it would work. If it's just bigger influencers who would be in a position to promote Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever, which is obviously a union production. I can't see someone with 1,000 followers needing to be in the union for this, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's very bizarre. I feel like, you know, I don't know. I don't want to say that like the influencers don't belong in SAG because like, maybe they do. Some of them want to carve out a career path to become an actor, right? I don't think that most of them do, though. You know what I mean? So it's weird to me.
Yeah, it doesn't totally make sense to me because it's a much more solitary industry, I'd say. Yeah. Like if you're an influencer, you're your own boss and you're not really relying on larger productions most of the time. You're just creating your own content. So I don't understand the benefits of the union and from that perspective, but I also don't know what it's like to be one of these major influencers.
Yeah, it says the influencer agreement only covers content made for digital distribution on the influencers and or advertisers' own website, social media, and YouTube channels. So that I don't even understand. So, and I think the agreement technically only goes for 1 year and you have to like re-sign it if you have to like,
gotcha.
You know, it's only like it's a year at a time. Well, but yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I feel like if I was an influencer, I probably would not want to be part of SAG because I don't see how it could benefit. But
yeah,
that's not to say that SAG isn't like, you know, SAG's great. It's just it's like a apples and oranges type thing.
Exactly,
you know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's like influencers don't I would argue that I could be fucking tripping, but I would argue that most influencers aren't trying to be actors.
I honestly don't know. I would assume not. That's the thing is like a lot of most influencers, in my opinion, don't do acting. Like there's a few who do skits and stuff like that, but for the most part, it's like very niche stuff, or it's like video games, you know, it's things that are not acting. So I don't understand why they would be a part of SAG, but you know, whatever.
In the fact sheet, it says, how does it work? And they say it's simple. You freely bargain the rates directly with the brand. So I guess you and a brand agree on a rate.
Okay.
Once the contract is finalized, you use your business entity. So I think you have to be incorporated. So you use your Inc. to sign up with SAG-AFTRA as the direct signatory for the project. This ensures the brand deal is covered and allows for your business entity to make pension and health contributions on your behalf.
Oh, okay.
So...
I still don't totally understand it, but it sounds like it's just kind
just
of offering
your ass, basically.
Yeah, they're offering extra protection to the influencers when it comes to the brand deals.
So that way, like, if they are to not pay you or if they're paying late or some shit like that, SAG is the one coming after them?
I guess so.
It's kind of tight. It's like they're like your manager or whatever.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Let's get into, I guess we have like these two last post-production related things. Let me do this Opus clip one real quick. So they're like an AI thing that I discovered randomly. They're called Opus Clip. I don't really know exactly what their website is. I think it's maybe Opus Pro or something like that. Opus.pro, I think. I was skeptical when I first tried it.
Yeah.
But basically it automatically like takes your video and chops it up into reframed, captioned social media content like right away.
Yeah.
So I took an old Intel video that I made. It's like a 15-minute video, almost like an interview, two people just talking about this new computer part or whatever. And I just, you know, uploaded it, whatever. It's you start out with a bunch of free, 2 hours of content free that you can upload.
Yeah.
So I uploaded this like 15 minutes, whatever, hit process, walked away and came back like 25 minutes later. It had like 15 different like social media ready clips.
I didn't realize it produced that many.
Oh, yeah. And then it gives them a rating of like on percentage wise what it thinks is like most quote unquote viral. It pre-writes like a headline.
Yeah.
And obviously you have all of the it does all of the subtitling, and so it gives you the transcript and everything,
and you can edit the transcript
all editable. The subtitles are editable, the colors of the subtitles are editable, it's paced very nicely, it does auto reframe, it does speaker detection, so like, you know, if two people are talking, it knows who to show.
Yeah,
but you can also give it a different setting where it can just cut and show both speakers the whole time at once.
Cool.
Like it's literally like a click of a button. It's pretty spooky shit, because like it literally does.
That's one thing that could come for our jobs.
I feel like and it's being used all the time. If you're ever on TikTok and you see like any of those podcast videos where it's two people talking and it's cutting back and forth, and it has literally the text is like this all caps, almost bubbly looking text where it's all white, and then like randomly one word will be bright green or bright yellow.
And it's usually a thick board, a black border
on
the text.
There's like an emoji that's underneath it sometimes.
Yeah.
That's literally what this fucking program does.
Yeah.
If you're interested in checking it out, opus.pro, I think, is the website. But it's interesting. It's not perfect, but fucking good.
It's pretty impressive. What you showed me earlier, the only thing that was really wrong with the video that I could tell was the graphics. It would just be a slightly different process where you feed it a clean version of whatever video you worked on.
Yeah.
And you know, Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I even... at one point tried to feed it just audio. Like, I mean, I had to make it MP4, but I fed it like a plain video that just had picture, or sorry, that just had noise, a sound, no picture.
Just a black video?
Black video, just audio. And it did a great job. It really like pulled out parts and turned them, like at least it did a good job detecting like what was actually a you know, viable thing to put on its own and not sound like total malarkey.
Yeah, yeah. Like it actually constructed
a relevant highlight.
Yeah, that made sense contextually.
Yeah. So it's pretty interesting. I don't know, man. I don't know how I feel about it. It's cool, but also it fucking sucks. But at the same time, it's just like another tool. It's just like the new way the industry's going. Like people aren't gonna, you know, you're not gonna take 3 days to make these like social cuts now. Now like brands will have their own sort of like, you know, branded approach to these Opus. Because in Opus Clip, I think you can also choose like your brand. So you can choose your colors in a different font and all this stuff. You're just going to have to do stuff in a different program. It's not going to be in Premiere.
It's one of those things where as long as the people who know about it are like the labor, it's a good thing. But once management finds out, then it becomes a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah. All in all, trying not to have to really edit anymore. And I might not have to.
Okay.
Because Avid got sold.
Yeah. So Avid has been, they've entered into a definitive agreement to be acquired by an affiliate of STG for $1.4 billion. So
what's STG?
STG is, I don't know what it stands for, but it's a private equity firm. And so you know how that works. Like they're only, if they're buying something for $1.5 billion, their goal is to make money off of it. And, you know, it could go a few different ways. However, I don't think the way that it's going to go is they improve the product and market it better. I think that it's going to be more of a, you know, they're taking on debt and they got to sell off assets. So I don't know if they'll sell off Avid, if they'll sell off Pro Tools. They're definitely going to increase the price. I don't see any way around that. I just don't see it going well for Avid users long term. But the other part of it is, you know, some, especially LA, there are production houses that are just or post-production houses that are completely entrenched in the Avid system.
And I would say like most of the big ones.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be very difficult for them to move on. So, you know, it probably won't be an immediate thing, but maybe over the course of a few years, you kind of start seeing Avid phased out.
You think that's what's going to happen?
I don't know if it'll get... I'm guessing that the quality of the program will decrease over time. And, you know, like Blackmagic might see an opening. And, you know, Resolve could be the next one. It depends on a lot of different things. I never feel good when a company, a private equity company buys art or, you know, the tools that are used to create art.
Yeah. To me, like it's weird. It's an opportunity because Avid is like a dinosaur, but it's such a powerful program and it's used by so many giant productions that like if they decide to modernize it, who knows? Maybe if they, you know, if they modernize it, it actually could be a big win.
Yeah, it could be. I just, I'd be surprised if they pay that much money and then decide to sink in even more money into the company in order to improve it when they're probably at their market share. Like they're probably not going to increase it anymore than they currently have. That's just my guess.
Yeah.
Because they would have to kind of redesign the way Avid works. And then you're losing, you're alienating your actual user base.
I'm just trying to find who, so STG is Symphony Technology Group.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to find, like, they have a lot of companies that they're invested in. I just don't know what any of these things are. They're like a bunch of different software companies and stuff like that. I was trying to see if maybe they already had like a little footprint somewhere in some like creative thing or some film related thing or even entertainment. But it seems like just in general, they just have a bunch of like different software companies and stuff like that.
Interesting. Apparently they bought McAfee Enterprise and it's now called Trellix and it provides the same service, cybersecurity. So I don't know. It sounds... It sounds like they do buy technology, but I don't.
We have no idea what's going to happen.
Exactly.
A dark day for Avid users everywhere. If you're an Avid user, call in 332-333-4361. Let us know how you feel about Avid getting sold. And if you like AI or you don't like AI, call in 332-333-4361. Tell us how you feel about AI. But I think that's about it for the show. I think we should go to what we learned last week.
Let's do it.
What a giant chunk of show. That was just like nonstop.
Yeah, yeah. That's the kind of show where we would normally take a break, but you know, we're supporting the strike.
So much show. That was insane. Here we go. What we learned last week.
What we learned
last week.
All right, Krusty, why don't you go first, bruh?
Okay, so I learned, you know, Sean Paul, the rapper.
Yeah.
He used to start a lot of his songs with Sean DePaul.
Yeah.
Well, I learned recently that he's not saying Sean DePaul. He's saying Chanderpaul, he's still alive. I don't know if he still plays, but he is a Guyanese cricket player, like a legendary cricket player.
I thought he was just saying Sean Paul.
No, he confirmed it like a year or two ago in an interview or a tweet that he was saying Chanderpaul. I have no idea why. And like, maybe he's just trolling everyone.
I think he's trolling. He's got to be, right?
I don't know, man.
I'm looking at this right now. It says, Sean Paul reveals he has been singing Chanderpaul. Okay. Well, interesting. You know, they say don't believe everything you read, but I'll believe that one.
I mean, the man said it himself.
He said it himself. I've got a few listed here. So I'm just going to go with the one that I've already told you. I told you this earlier this week because it was so mind-blowing to me. Back in the day, 20 years ago.
Yes.
There was, we went to the same middle school. We're in the same middle school class.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one field trip that the class did to a place called Driftwood.
Yes, which nature was like, camp. It's like a, it's Cumberland, it's in Georgia.
Island, right?
Yeah,
it's in like a island on in the marshes of Georgia or some shit like that, basically. And the entire time, like after you get back, right, from that trip, you do like a whole week basically on, you know, what the nature is like up there, and you do like science about that place, right? So one of the animals that we were told about in my memory was the kite snail.
Yes.
And it was an endangered snail is what I thought it was. And you know, this is Mandela effect shit. In my head, I was like, the kite snail, it was an endangered snail 20 years ago. And the other day I was like, I wonder whatever happened to that kite snail. Like, is it still endangered? Did it fight back? So I went and Googled it. Kite snail, Florida.
Yep.
Literally not a single fucking result about this kite snail. Instead, there's an endangered bird called the snail kite.
Yep.
And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I probably spent 15 minutes like Googling kite snail in different ways trying to find this snail. It doesn't exist.
Nope,
there is no kite snail. It's never
bird.
Been a kite snail.
Yep. It's a snail kite. It's a type of bird that eats snails.
It eats snails. I know. It's like the irony of this is just fucking insane. And it's still endangered.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's also,
I don't know if it's endangered, but there's a grass called, or a marshy grass called Spartina.
Spartina.
Which was a big influential part of our lives during that week Driftwood.
They made everyone say doo-doo-doo-doo.
Spartina.
It was pretty crazy. But RIP kite snail, or the idea of the kite snail. And,
yeah.
You've returned as a snail kite. Risen from the ashes.
It blew my mind. I thought we were protecting snails all this time.
Me fucking
we're just,
too, man.
We're just protecting birds.
20 years of thinking there was a kite snail.
You know, like the snails, I can tell the snails need help. The birds, they can fly. They just
fly away.
Yeah, fly. Go do your thing.
Someone's trying to capture you. Fly the fuck away.
Yeah. A snail.
Don't hang around while you get eaten. Just leave.
A snail just has to like hope that its shell is hard enough.
Bro, if a snail accidentally crawls across some McDonald's French fries, it's gonna die.
Oh my God.
It's too much sodium. That snail is fucking toast, you know? It's not as robust as a human. Chris, where can the people find us before we get the fuck out of here?
We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Send us an email.
Yes.
Yes.
Do it.
We're SizzleReelGang, thewebsite.com. It's new. It's improved.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty soon you can go to goodass.website or goodasswebsite.com.
That's right.
And you just might be redirected, and you might not. Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
And of course, the most important thing that you will hear the entire hour, we have the Sizzle Reel Cold Line.
Cold Line. Brr. Oh my God.
That is 332-333-4361.
Call in. Let us know how you feel about Avid getting sold. Let us know how you feel about AI.
Yeah.
Overreacting? Is it not going to really fuck shit up? How do you feel about the strike? We had one caller call in and leave a rant. but if you have some feelings on AI, call in.
Yeah.
Just do like 30 seconds on how you feel. You don't have to fucking go just, 3 minutes and
just
the thing
give us
cuts
something
you off.
To react to.
Yeah,
just,
anything.
Just let us tell you you're wrong and why.
And remember, next week, episode 150, we got a very special segment planned, and we got some special guests planned as well.
Can't
it's going to be a great time.
150,
and
wow.
We'll see you then.
Bye.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.